Welcome to Come to Your Senses with Carlos Simon. We are here. We are ready. Oh my God. There's so much has been going on. Prince is dead. Oh boy. That bummed me out on my birthday. Oh God. Thanks a lot, Prince.
On your birthday?
On my birthday. Oh. Son of a bitch died on me. You know what I mean? Oh gosh.
What an asshole.
I know. He really is. He really, no. No. I love the guy. You know, he was one thing I regret in life, or one of the many things I regret in life, not seeing him live. That was a thing. Never saw him live. Great performer though.
He was high maintenance.
Oh yeah. He was a Devo. Before he was a Devo, like Diana Ross was like, wow, that guy is high maintenance.
But high maintenance equals high quality.
That's true. That's
right?
True.
Not always.
Really? I was gonna say the Jonas Brothers. High maintenance, but they have high quality. You know,
LA 10.
He was an LA 10. Yeah, he was an LA 10. He was a Minnesota 20. I'll tell you that. When he came here, you know, wow.
But, he was an Iowa 50.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Yeah. Big time. With that, the voice you hear, aside from myself and my engineer, Mike Hoagie. Thanks. Hey, Hoagie, how you doing? Good?
Yeah.
How's the marriage? Good? Okay. Let's check.
You know? Want
to
talk about
it? You never know. Hey, if you want to talk, man, you know, we're here.
Way to put him on the spot. He's turning a little red right now. I don't know what's going on in his personal life.
Oh, boy. Well, sorry. I didn't mean to bring it up. Sorry. Oh, boy. Well, everybody, welcome to the show. Let me introduce my guest. You've heard her right now, but she's been in a lot of TV and movies. I'll tell you that right now. If you've seen, she's been on Entourage.
Hey.
She's been at Hello Ladies. A lot of HBO stuff right there. And she's also just finished a couple movies right now.
I did.
This introducer, Miss Malia Rose.
What's up, guys?
Yeah. So, Malia, thanks for doing the show.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. So is everything good? We were talking earlier, you know, and it's Hollywood could be rough, you know, right?
It could be one wild roller coaster.
Yeah, it is. It's got good ups and downs, you know. Sometimes, you know, you could be, you know, at a party and you got Jamie Foxx singing along with, you know, maybe Prince, you know, you never know. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're on the casting call for some weird movie. You know what I mean? Like you never know what's going to happen in Hollywood.
The best is when Jamie Foxx is standing behind you at Ralph's and you look at him and you say, don't I know you?
Yeah.
Did we go to, how do I know you? And he looks at you like,
oh no.
I'm Jamie Foxx, bitch. Yeah, yeah.
But it was, it's, you know, I remember, I'm still a fan, but I, Howard Stern used to have this thing where, they used to have this guy named Stuttering John that he named, and they would ask celebrities like these really ridiculous questions, and some that were just like, oh my God, like I would, like if I was a celebrity, I would have punched a guy, you know, like it was really bad. But there's one question that to me was the best, where it's like, if you ask a celebrity, didn't matter how big they were or anything like that, you would go like, who are you? And what'd you do that made you famous? And it's like, it's one of those things where like, if the celebrity's like, it's kind of like, you fucking know me, but they don't want to be an asshole about it. But then they're like annoyed that they have to kind of explain what they did and what made them famous or who are they, you know?
And it's the most humbling thing when people, when you say you're an actress and someone asks you, so what have you been in?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh, well, and you start listing things off. And then I'm wondering to myself, what do I have to prove to you?
Yeah. Like,
and then you just say, oh, I don't like talking about myself.
Right. Oh, well, that's good. That's good. It's like a comedian, you know, like if someone says like, hey, I'm a stand up or something. And then Louis C.K. probably gets this a lot where it's like, tell me a joke. Or something, and you're just like, what the, you know, like I'm not like an old comedian, like an old stand-up comedian where it's like, tell me a joke, like, all right, these two guys go in the bar, you know, like the Pope and the rabbi come in the bar, you know, it's like, I don't know, like a joke.
Being funny on command is very difficult.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you've been in a lot of stuff in 2 and a Half Men, huh?
Yeah, that was amazing. First episode of the last season.
Wow. First one there. And how that was the one with Ashton, right?
Yeah. It was my first time shooting in front of a live studio audience. Now,
how was that? That's like, you know,
it's incredible.
Yeah, it's a fun, and there's a lot of people in that audience too.
It's like doing theater all week. You start with a table read, then the next day you have rehearsals, wow. And the last night it's the biggest rush you can ever get.
Yeah, exactly.
And all you hope is, I hope I get laughs.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah, you want to do the line as what they wanted to do, or even better. Yeah, definitely. I remember sitting in a couple of studio audiences a long time ago. I remember as a kid being in a studio audience in Facts of Life.
Wow.
Yeah, and George Clooney was in that episode. And it was fun, but like it sucked because they filmed this part and then but it wasn't like a whole thing where you knew what was going to happen next. Like it was, they just recorded it and mm-hmm. just taped it. And then they went into another scene that didn't make any sense. And we're like, what the fuck? Like,
oh, it's the worst. So they yeah. have those people in the audience that was doing magic tricks in between.
Oh, really? No, well,
they get everyone really hyped
yeah,
up.
Yeah, they used to have that. I remember sitting in studio audience for Coach. Have you seen the TV show Coach?
I have.
And that was actually pretty cool. That was actually like you got to see the whole thing and them goofing around and them stopping. But then, yeah, I don't know. That was it. That was pretty much. I was like, this is way too much. Like,
what's so amazing about it is the actors are having fun.
Right.
You know, you can tell that they have a rush. And what I found so incredible, because I'd been watching the show for years, mm-hmm. is John Cryer is so talented.
Yeah, yeah.
The writers would be on set sitting next to you, and they would rewrite pages.
Right.
Hand them over to him. He'd have 3 seconds to learn it, wow. and he'd have to go out and do it all.
Wow. Well, you know, he's been around for a long time. I mean,
he's a machine.
Yeah, yeah. He's always been good.
John Hughes movies. Yeah. I mean, how can you not love him?
Hot
Ducky.
Yeah, exactly. He was in Hot Shots, which I forgot. He was in the movie Hot Shots, and I was like, oh yeah, he's the guy with the messed up eyes, and he was a radar guy too. Though, yeah, he's been he did a cool movie too. I remember seeing. I don't know if he directed it or not, but it's a long name. I forgot the name of it, but it was really cool. Where It was like two friends found out that their other childhood friend is now homeless, mm-hmm. and they go out to kind of find him or something and try to bring him back. So it was a pretty heavy movie. It's a pretty
Sounds a little intense.
Yeah, but it's pretty good. I think he either produced it or directed it. I'm not sure, but it was pretty. So I always say, like, if I ever see the guy, I'd be like, what was that movie you were in? I can't. Yeah. It's so long title. It's like, I'll see you at Coney. Like, it's one of those like. Like, even an album doesn't even have to be, like, that long. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
And then he's going to look at you and say, I don't like talking about myself. Yeah, storm off.
Yeah. I feel like, I'm like, damn, he's good. He's good. He's a celebrity. I'm like, what'd you do to make you famous? You know? As I go, I'm like, ah, forget it.
I just went up to him and went, Ducky's getting lucky.
Oh, really? And what did he say? Get out. He's like, oh. You know, and you've seen Pretty in Pink, right?
Of course.
You've seen my sure. Remember, they did the movie John Hughes, and you know how Ducky, spoiler alert, he didn't get the...
Don't do it! Don't listen, guys, if you haven't seen it. It's so good.
Yeah, but you know how Ducky didn't get the girl at the end? You mm-hmm. know, it was the
rich, babe, yeah, who I had the biggest crush on in the
90s. Oh, Andrew MacArthur. Was it Andrew MacArthur, right? Yeah.
He was a babe.
Yeah, my sister had a thing for him. But John Hughes later on did a movie exactly the same plot in a way, where it's kind of almost the same thing, but in this case, the world's reverse, where the guy is poor and the girl is rich, and it was called Some Kind of Wonderful.
I think I've seen that.
And that one, the girl, it was a girl that was kind of like the Ducky part, mm-hmm. because he was his buddy, you know, that they were friends and all that. And that one, John Hughes made it that the girl, the friend, the Ducky version or something, like, gets the guy at the end. So they did it that way. I was like, yeah. So it's like, it's really weird. Like, I'm like, yeah, like he did it in like 86, I think, Pretty in Pink. And then like a year later, he did the exact same movie. And then actually which is a little bit different ending in that way. But I don't know. Actually, I enjoy it. I'll still watch it. I don't know why it's not on TV anymore. I don't really. Yeah.
There was a good period where
Eric Stoltz was it, wasn't it? Eric Stoltz. Yeah.
I'm embarrassed to tell you guys how many times I've seen that film.
Uh-oh. Come on.
Quite a few.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey. I've...
When he forgets her birthday.
Oh, yeah.
That part always gets me. There's just something about that part.
I always like the guy. I always like when Ducky's singing in the record store when he's giving us all out, and then finally she's like, "I'm not interested." he's like, "All right, I'm out of here. Screw this. I can't take this anymore."
Okay, if we're gonna talk about singing in a store right now, can we talk about Empire Records?
Mm.
That film.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it in a while, but that's like I remember the soundtrack was like really good.
So good.
Yeah, with who I thought it was, I remember like there was that one song, I thought it was David Bowie that was singing it, but it was like some guy named Edwin something
I know it.
Never Met a Girl. Like
Never Met a Girl.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and I thought, I'm like, wow, is that David Bowie? I'm like, oh, cool. And then I'm like, they're like, no, somebody else. I'm like,
Will you put that on your list?
It's
so good.
It's like a very 90s, you know, like that era right there of all those people. Because I remember, like, you know, hey, I remember being young and being hip. I don't know about the music nowadays. I don't know, like, you know, first time I saw Jonas, or was it Nick Jonas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm like, that's what he looks like? I didn't even know what he looks like.
That's what music sounds
like? Yeah. Well, I always say that when I see Saturday Night Live, I always go like, it's either one or the other. I'll be like, I'll know the host, but I won't know the guest, like the musical guest, mm-hmm. or vice versa. And I'll be like.
Did you see Kanye's performance?
Which one? The one where he was like lying down
and upside down?
Yeah. He did one where he's like on the floor lying down and they had the camera angle. So his face is like upside down, you know, or something. It was really weird. It's trippy.
It was the most narcissistic performance I've ever seen. He's like, I'm just going to do something that nobody understands because I'm so amazing.
Right.
It was bizarre.
See, the thing Saturday Night Live used to be very, I don't know who used to run the musical or book them, but back in like the 80s and 90s or whatever, like they were just like, they would get like, they would hardly get any of contemporary in a sense where it was like I mean, Guns N' Roses was like in their height, you know, like they wouldn't do Saturday Night Live or they weren't asked to do Saturday Night Live, I don't think. And neither was like NWA or Public Enemy or Public Enemy did one. But nowadays, it's all, like, the contemporary. Like, hardly you'll see, like, unless, like, Paul McCartney might show up, maybe. But I'm like, you'll never see, like Billy Joel or Sting. Or I mean, they're all older in a way, I guess. So I guess they figured the audience would be like, who's this guy? Like, I don't think if they saw Billy Joel, they would be like, I don't know what that guy is.
I think they're gearing it towards a younger demographic.
Yeah, I think they changed the whole thing. And before, it was kind of cool because you saw a lot of bands there and like the Clash, I remember seeing, you know, they would play like old episodes and stuff, and you would see like the Clash, or you see all these other bands like Beastie Boys sometimes would, you know, do it, and you'd be like, wow, this is pretty cool. And then, but nowadays, I'm like, fuck, I don't know what this person is. I'm like, am I that out of it?
Means we're old.
Yeah, is that what that means?
Oh, speak for yourselves, guys. I know you all can't see me out there in Radio Land, right. But I am young and
oh, they could hear the voice. They could hear the voice. Yeah,
I am sparkly. Yes. My skin glows.
Oh, we're old.
Yeah, we're old. Yeah,
exactly. Speak for yourselves.
I'm so old right now. Like someone just told me, Megan Trainor, and I'm like, isn't that the girl from the TV show? And they're like, no, the fuck is that? That's the girl. And I'm like, oh. Fucking like, who's the other girl I was talking about?
She's super teeny bop.
Yeah, because that was what's the song she does about that bass? Is that the one she does?
All about that bass, about that bass.
Yeah, and I'm like, is that the Diapers song? I thought that was the Diapers song. Like, I have no clue that was on the radio, legitimately on the radio. I was like, that's the Diapers song, right? Am I? That's
song?
Yeah, the Diapers, you know, for the kids.
Pampers.
Pampers. Yeah, they have that song. I'm telling you, it's all about that bass. Yeah, because the kids. Now? The kids are falling down, you know, and they got to protect the base.
That's a really cute visual, actually.
Yeah, so that's, I don't know.
Babies falling on their little diapers.
Exactly. Man, I don't know. I am getting older, and I heard that when you get older, you get vivid dreams. Is that true? You get a lot of crazy dreams sometimes? Or is that just me? No, I don't know. No, okay, I'm just checking. All right, just checking.
That's called watching Troll 2 on Netflix before you go to bed.
Okay, yeah, you know what? That is true in a way because like last night I had like I was bored as hell and I was looking around and I was like, yeah, I saw. Okay, I'll admit it. You know, you probably you know, I'll admit this. I'll watch. And you probably heard this movie, right? Face of the Death, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Have you ever heard that?
No.
Oh, gosh. You don't want to know. It's
terrible.
It's like some weird documentary, but it's
a series of movies.
Yeah, it's a series of movies, and some of it is real and some of it isn't, but it's basically like this kind of documentary, and it's like they talk about like death in a way. So it's mm-hmm. like if they see like if there's like an auto accident or there's some I'm trying to think of the other stuff.
It's like footage of people dying.
Basically. Yeah. That's basically
real footage?
Some footage is fake. Like they faked it.
Dude, that's dark.
Yeah. And then the other, but it's like, it's been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was watching because I was like, I hadn't seen this in a real long time. Like, but someone was, I was like thinking to myself, like, I'm like, because someone was like saying that it was fake. And I'm like, I don't know if, I can't remember if it's fake or not. And then some of the stuff, like, I was looking at it, I'm like, yeah, that's fake. That's obviously fake. But then some, I'm like, no, I don't think that was real. That was real. I'm like, ooh, that was bad.
That's what happened to me when I started. I binge watched The Walking Dead for about four seasons.
There we go.
And I started thinking in zombie. I wanted to go up to people and bite them and go, zombie apocalypse! Oh!
Right.
You know, like my brain, it messed me up.
Yeah,
for a while.
I had like a weird dream and I was like falling off, you know? And sometimes when you have those dreams where you're like going to fall off a building or something like that. And I woke up and I was still intense. Yeah.
And you're like, huh.
And I was like, man, I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I might see Face of the Death 2 after the, maybe tonight. We'll see.
I'm cutting you off. You need to sleep sound.
So, all right. I'll send you the link to that, okay. Face of the Death. You should check it. Everybody should check that out. It's a Citizen Kane of its time, right?
Everybody should go to sleep watching Seinfeld. It gives you perfect dreams.
It's good. That's good. You get in a lot of arguments with your
own thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Man, I'll tell you. But you know what? But they also has like some animal stuff in that movie. But speaking of animal, I'll do a little segment called News of the World.
Mm-hmm. News of the World.
It's a crazy world out there. You know, guys, the Philippines just elected their president, who's, from what I hear, is crazier than Trump. Like, real bad. Like he's made these comments where it's like so un-PC that it's like unbelievable, where it's like it's not even okay. And and there's like all this stuff about the leaks, you know, the documents and stuff like that. But you know, with animals, you know, nature, they did it to us again, you know. I know the tornadoes and fires and all that, but let me read the headline right here. This is gonna get you, okay, Malia? Calm down.
I only care about animals. Well, so much more than human beings.
Well, this animal, I don't know. It says right here, the story is raccoon knocks out power to 40,000 in Seattle. Ugh, worse.
He's a badass.
Yeah, he is. He is a badass. And it's funny. They show a picture of raccoon. Like,
is he single?
I think, yeah.
I got a thing for the bad boys.
I don't know. I know. Look at this. It says, and I love how they put the photo. I don't think that's the raccoon that did it. It's just a random raccoon
photo.
This
raccoon looks so innocent.
Exactly.
Look at those little whiskers. He couldn't harm anything.
But it says right here, it says, a raccoon knocked out power to much of Seattle early Wednesday after it broke into a substation and wreaked havoc. De-energizing the system. Like, it's like it was like almost like a spy, like it had a plan or
did
something.
Did he live?
Well, we'll see. Let's see here. Okay, so local eyewitness Jeff Pierce is always hanging around, mm-hmm. but not that much. He said told the station that he had heard an explosion, okay, and then saw city workers and a dazed raccoon that had been shocked inside the substation.
Wow.
So, wow. So... I'm dazed, man.
Just dazed?
Yeah, no.
You're a raccoon, you're getting like the central power control for Seattle.
Exactly. And you bite into it, and I guess you're dazed. I don't know. Wow. That's a pretty hard. Yeah, he is a badass. I'll tell you that much right here. And it says right here, it says, the incident caused a massive power outage that, according to the TV station, stretched from Fremont and Ballard to Magnolia, whatever that is. But it's a lot of people, it looks like. It says, an animal entered one of our substations, causing this most recent outage. Seattle City Light tweeted. Didn't even say it. They just tweeted it. Just like, you know what? It's late at night. I'm in bed with my wife. I'm going to just tweet this thing here. Little statement here. He goes, we're still investigating and hope to get everyone powered up ASAP. Hashtag damn raccoons, you know? No, he didn't say damn it. That would have been great if he did
hashtag
that.
Hashtag raccoon without a cause.
Yeah, exactly. Great. You know, that would have been great. Says the public utility later said that the power had been successfully restored, of course. Says, well, journalists from KOMO who arrived on the scene, wow, it's a slow news night, I didn't tell you that much, says, claimed that this animal survived and was captured. Scott Thompson, a spokesperson for City Light, told weather.com, this is where it's from, it's kind of from Weather Channel. I don't know how this got into the weather, but all right. He said, tell raccoon that the raccoon didn't make it. He says, the workers who responded only found charred remains.
Oh.
He was stunned.
Oh.
That's what I thought. It was dazed.
I don't even care that the power was out. The poor raccoon.
Charred remains. Well, I don't know.
So that was definitely not a photo of him.
No, that was not. That was a, well, it might have been before photo of him.
It was a reenactment picture.
It says ThompsonToldWeather.com in an email. No one's doing live. Everyone's doing emails. They're doing tweets. No, they're doing,
where's PETA?
Yeah, there's no, they're not involved. They can't. They, you know, they're like, I think PETA and raccoons are, they're having a little outs, I think, maybe a little bit. They're, you know, raccoons sometimes go into garbage a little bit too much, you know.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. It says, Thompson told weather.com in an email. Didn't tweet it. He says, in these situations, the animal has thousands of volts of electricity going through it. I've heard reporters saying that they saw a raccoon in the air. Could have been a different animal. It was not the one that caused this outage. Oh, well, he's saying we caught it. Unfortunately, that's not the one. But the reporters are saying that different. They're saying that the raccoon, there was a raccoon in the area, and then it did survive. They're saying that there, I don't know.
It was really Donald Trump.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, really? I would hope so. But it's so, I'm like, I was thinking to myself, like, that should be a cool, wouldn't that be a cool story, like a cool movie? Where, like, you know, like Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that. They had that raccoon in it, right? Mike, please.
I don't watch movies.
Oh. Guardians of the Galaxy is like a spoof on a movie, but it was actually a lot better than I expected.
Yeah,
it to be.
It's a very, it's like a, it's, yeah, it's like a, it's like these weird characters all bunched in together, and they're like the worst of the worst, but yet they got together and saved the universe, I guess, or something like that. And there was a talking raccoon, and I'm like, that would be a cool story if the raccoon, you know, bit into her or did whatever it did it, you know, 40,000, you know, or how much voltage it got in, and then like became a superhero. Like,
ooh,
that would be like, and then like it, but it didn't, it still doesn't understand like what's good and bad, but it could like chew into garbage, like it could melt garbage cans or whatever, you know, and go right through it. How about
that? You should definitely be the bad guy in the movie, right?
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Get you, you know, I could see you. You know what? And you could be the reporter.
Can I play the raccoon?
No. Okay. Yeah. You could do the raccoon.
I'm a really good character actor.
Yeah. Say, would you be talking? I think you would have to talk in a way, right? You would have, you got electricity in you. Of course. You could do whatever you want. You're like, oh, now you're a raccoon.
All of a sudden, he has this very female voice.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
But that, yeah.
Like, I'm scary.
scary that raccoon. There we go. But yeah, I don't know. But that's crazy. So people are like, you know, watching Netflix, and all of a sudden their power goes out, and they're like, "What is it? Like, is it an accident?" And it's like, "No, raccoon got into the substation." I don't know what to tell you. Just, these raccoons, man, they will get anywhere.
I think they are so ridiculously cute.
They are, but you know, they're feisty in a way, right? You know, I've heard that they get a little crazy, and with each other, you know, they hang out. But I think it's. You know, I think the garbage thing, I think if, you know, if we gave them a little food out there, you know, put in, they wouldn't have to be scoping through your garbage, you know, looking at your bank statements and all that stuff, you know.
I grew up in Hawaii and we didn't have raccoons. We didn't have squirrels. So whenever I see these very normal rodents, as you'd call them, being mainland people, I always get super excited. I think squirrels are just the cutest little things. And it's just a squirrel, but I get so excited. Like,
oh, really?
I'm very basic.
You know, I'm always amazed that the squirrel is good on the power lines and never get like hit or anything. They're just like on the thing, you know, like you'll see them walk, you know, and I'm like, damn, that's, I wish I could be a squirrel for one day. Just check it out, you know, a little bit.
That'd be another good cartoon.
Maybe so.
Squirrel for a day.
Squirrel for a day. I'd be like, what am I going to do today? Should I get the nuts on here? I'm like, I could fly basically in a way. I got a big tail on me, you know? Yeah. I don't know. Well, I'll think of something. Well, yeah, we're getting on.
We got this.
We got this right here.
There's a lot of creative energy going on right now.
Right there, right there.
I can see you as a raccoon and you as a squirrel, maybe.
Yeah.
Like a force, join forces.
Right. Have you seen that movie? What was that movie with, oh, geez. There was a horrible movie, but it could have been better, but it was like, the guy from The Mummy, he was also in.
Brendan Fraser?
Yeah, he was in it, and he was like some guy who wanted to tear, like he was like a real estate developer and wanted to tear the forest, and all the forest creatures got together and decided to make his life like a living hell.
Huh.
And mind you, they didn't speak like any language or anything. Like they all kind of knew their language in a way, but they didn't like, and that was like the whole thing. It was
interesting.
So it's like, it's basically like Home Alone, but like instead of the kid being home alone, it's like the forest, like kids are like fucking around with this. I wonder
why we've never heard of that film.
Yeah, it was like, I can't even remember the name. It was shorter than a John Cryer movie name title, but
Did you ever see the Tobey Maguire movie where the beavers are trying to ruin his life? It barely got released.
Was that in Spider-Man?
No, it was. It was a couple years ago, and it's basically about these beavers.
Is it a comedy?
It should be.
Was that a drama?
It was pretty damn funny watching Tobey Maguire and his great acting trying to fight some beavers.
Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do. You know,
I understand.
I guess so. I guess when you got Spider-Man money and you're like, hey, let's try this out. Why not? You know?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you haven't really been seeing him in a real long time, right?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. He's got, you know, he's got what they called F you money.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I got enough money where it's like, I don't have to do this, you know, like that. So I don't know. Do you have that money?
Yet? No, not yet.
Not yet.
I can't wait to have that money.
You
cannot wait. The things I'm going to do.
Oh, God.
I'm going to have 100 cats.
Really? Oh, no.
Wild cats, though. Creepy cats. Like, I already have a creepy cat. I'm a creepy cat lady. Uh-huh. But I want wild cats.
Wow. So you want those. Okay. You want like a mountain cat maybe? Or
I want like jaguars and cheetahs.
Wow.
Have you ever seen Black Jaguar and White Tiger? It's an Instagram account.
No.
And it's these guys who have a wild cat refuge in Mexico.
And what's it called again?
Black Jaguar, White Tiger.
Black Jaguar.
And these wild animals, he raises them from such a small age that they think they're his dad.
Oh.
So they lick him just like a normal cat would do.
Right.
I mean, these are giant lions licking him, hugging him. It's really, it's incredible.
Are you crying? Oh my gosh, she is crying. No, just kidding.
That was a tear. Don't call me out.
Sorry, but I don't know. I mean, I
it's
do.
It's that beautiful.
I get sentimental when animals do get like, you know, yeah, like when we have a good relationship with a group before, you know, like they, like, yeah, like you raise them or like a, I was just thinking of a movie, an old movie called, I'm just going by these movies. Project X with Matthew Broderick. I don't know if you ever heard this movie, but it's a tearjerker in a way where he's a pilot, right? Like he was in the military. I don't know if you remember that, Mike, do you? No, he was in the military and he was part of like this experiment what it did with apes.
Mm-hmm.
So he had like chimps and mostly it was just chimps really. And the thing was they wanted to train these chimps to fly jets. So and he would like teach them, you know. And the thing is, and they all had like these nicknames and stuff like that. And like one was Hercules because he was like real big or whatever, and you know scares some most of the chimps and all these other ones, you know. And the thing is that they were just like, he got really attached to the chimp that he was training and mostly to all of them and everybody, and they were just going to take him out, you know. And what they did was that they wanted to put him in this like nuclear thing, like put radioactive or something like that to see if they would withstand like any radioactive war, you know, still the Cold War. And like, yeah, like, and the thing is, And he fought, like, he didn't want them to be in this experiment anymore. So, like, he had to, like, save them or something like that. I think Helen Hunt was in it, too.
Of course she was.
Of course, you know.
She's in all of those kinds of movies.
Yeah, you always got to get a Helen Hunt, you know, help you out in any circumstance, you know.
Just throw in Helen Hunt there.
But, yeah, it was pretty cool. It's a good movie. It's like, and the chimps, like, they took off on the plane, you know. And, like, they landed in some, like, Florida, like, you know, forest, basically. And they couldn't find him, you know. They couldn't do it. And he got in big trouble because he didn't do what they told him to, you know. Like, he actually took him out and everything like that. It's a good movie. It's a good 80s movie with a lot of chimps. I'll tell you that. But
it's the 80s Planet of the Apes.
I don't know what it was. But back in the day in the 80s, if you had a chimp, you know, it was like having a cat, basically, you know.
Or you were the coolest person and you had so many friends in school.
Michael Jackson. Bubbles.
Yeah, exactly. He had Bubbles. I remember, what was the movie with Clint Eastwood? He was in that movie with Every Which Way But Loose. That was the name of the movie. And he was with an orangutan. That's what it was. And Malia just looked up and said, no, they were just good buddies. Before buddy cop movies, it was Clint Eastwood and an orangutan. And it was like this orangutan who had like super charisma. And they were like in the middle of like this Texas town or some like town where it's like a bunch of hicks or something like that, basically. And of course, you gotta have an orangutan to loosen it up, you know, and that's how it works.
Do you remember Harry and the Hendersons?
Yeah, I do.
That movie got me every time too.
That actually movie is more realistic than that movie I just described.
Right?
Anyway, because I'm like, why the hell would I be hanging out with an orangutan? Unless, because in Harry and the Hendersons, it's like, yeah, it's a family going out to the forest mm-hmm. to have a little special bonding with the family, and they run over Bigfoot.
I loved that movie.
Makes sense. That makes sense.
Perfect sense.
Perfect sense. Clint Eastwood with the orangutan. Now, mind you, this is Clint Eastwood who had been in a lot of good movies prior, Dirty Harry, and he's like, sign me up. Orangutan, country music.
Yeah.
Sign me up. Okay.
He must have just gone through a divorce and needed a quick paycheck or something.
This is before Unforgiven. This is when he's like, you know what? The roles have been really drying up here, so I don't know why I'm doing that in a Texas accent. I don't know why. But
it just seems appropriate.
It's like, no more cowboy movies for me. I'm like, I'm orangutan, buddy. Come on up right there. And it was like, they're in like a truck. I don't know. It's a whole other thing right here. But speaking of movies, let's get on down the pike right here.
Down the pike.
You love movies, right, Malia? You've been in many of movies.
I am a huge movie buff. I am a diehard. I love it.
Being on the movie. Now, let me ask you. Being on the movie set is pretty awesome, I hear, right?
It's a lot of hard work. You always think when you're watching films, oh, this is so glamorous, this is so amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it is long hours, you're tired, you have people poking at you. I personally hate hair and makeup so much. I hate having people pull at me, touch me. Mm. And, you know, you can be working for 17 hours straight sometimes.
Yeah, and, you know, I did a couple of sketches for a friend, and literally, it's like the sketch in itself is probably 2 minutes mm-hmm. or something like that. And we're there for like 6 hours just trying to get this and trying to get the line. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like,
well, what's so incredible, too, is for instance, you shoot one scene. You have to shoot it from one angle. Then you have mm-hmm. to shoot it from another angle. Then you have to do this. Then you do the over shoulder. Then you do the wide angle. Then you do the other person's coverage.
Right.
And by the time, you know, maybe you're at your close up, which could be the last shot of the day, you are burnt out. You are sick of it.
Right.
And there's nothing, you know, lively original about it. Imagine if you had to cry and your dad just died in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to do 100 takes and get there. It's or make out with somebody that you don't want to make out with or whatever it is.
Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, I've had that multiple times.
Oh, no. Malia.
I've had to do fake cocaine. I've had to kiss people.
How's fake cocaine? How do you do that?
Well, you hope that the angle's so wide that you don't actually have to snort it.
Uh-huh.
But it's basically vitamin B. It tastes like Splenda. It uh-huh. makes you feel very funny and weird.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I have to tell you.
Well, it might have been Coke, man.
I would have preferred Coke. I've never done Coke, but I imagine it had to be way better than what.
Than that thing right there. Because that's the thing. Like, I see that in movies sometimes, and I always go like, is that like even. I wouldn't say, okay, I don't think it's Coke, but I don't even think that's even healthy in a way.
No, it's not. And it's, you wake up the next day and you can't breathe.
Yeah,
gosh. But I just did a sci-fi film and right. I have to smoke weed, but it was just cloves with nothing in it.
Right.
And we did so many takes
and my
character's from an alternate universe. So,
right.
you know, I'm really sucking it. And then I'm like, oh, this is great.
Uh-huh.
I have never, it was like, I was choking, I was dying.
Yeah.
It was so disgusting and I had to do 100 takes of it.
And there's no filter or anything.
I almost punched the director in the face.
Wow.
In my head.
In your head.
Just in my head. Don't tell him that.
Mario Scorsese was like, oh, wow. Like,
yeah, exactly.
That girl punched me in the head. You know, like, we had it coming. Wow. That's it's crazy. I don't know how that usually the thing. But yeah, like, because I always think like if Seth Rogen's like smoking weed, I'm like, I think that's actually a weed. But I don't know. I could be
I heard
wrong.
His office at whatever Universal lot reeks like pot all the time.
I could imagine.
There's just pot rolling out through the doors, the windows.
I heard that, I don't know if this is true or not, I mean, I'm not saying, but I heard that the guy, what's his name, Peter Boyle, you know, he was in Everybody Loves Raymond, he was the dad. I remember, like, somebody saying, like, he would smoke pot, like, in a trailer or something like that. I don't know if that was true, but, like, I could see him because he'd been around for a long time, mm-hmm. and he seemed like maybe that type, but it's just so funny because when he plays the character, he just plays, like, an old dad, you know, and it's like, I'm like, no, like, you were a young Frankenstein dude. Come on, who are you fooling, man? You've been around. Come on.
I smoked pot once on my way to a location.
Uh-huh.
And I remember I had a cue. You know, you say the line and then I'm supposed to get up. I was reading a fake magazine, but it was a real.
Uh-huh.
And I remember just getting so sucked into that magazine. I kept missing my cue. I thought people were going to kill me.
Yeah. I you know what? It's some of those magazines might have a good article. You're like, oh, my God.
And I was so high.
Really? Yeah. You're like, wow, Tom Cruise is 55. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's crazy.
Malia, your cue.
Malia, come on.
Come on, baby.
Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you this right here. We're going to do a couple trailers. Let's start with this one. This is The Nice Guy, starring Russell Crowe, Academy Award winner for Gladiator.
Mm-hmm.
I have to always announce that as part of his thing. And Ryan Gosling, who has yet to win an Academy Award, I don't think. Yeah, he has not won one.
No. I don't even think he's been nominated.
No. What's going on, Ryan? Come on, dude. Come on.
Yeah. And I thought his performance in Blue Valentine.
Yeah.
I thought he was brilliant.
That was good. I remember seeing that. And he was good in what was that other movie with Bryan Cranston? The one where he's almost autistic in a way, but he killed a lot of people. I don't know. What was that movie? It was one where, Drive. I think it was called Drive. Remember that movie?
I might be the only person on the planet that has not seen that film yet.
Okay. It's good. But it's definitely, he's definitely weird in it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying anybody who doesn't kill anybody or something is already weird, but I'm just saying, like...
No, that's normal. Yeah, this is Hollywood,
Hollywood, yeah, yeah. Mel Gibson was perfect. Hello. It was perfectly normal when he killed a lot of people in Lethal Weapons.
Mel can do no wrong. And I'm Jewish, I have to tell you.
Oh, you are? Okay.
I'm Jewish, and I still think Mel Gibson's one of the best directors of our time.
Yeah, Apocalypto.
L'Chaim.
L'Chaim, wow. Wow, that's pretty good. You are Jewish?
Yeah.
Hmm. All right, just check it.
My mom's maiden name is Newman.
Oh.
That's about as Jewish as it gets.
All right, you know what? Show over. No, just kidding.
Get out.
Get out now. How dare you? Trick me. Oh, you know. All right, well, let's play this. This is called The Nice Guy. This is about two guys. They're nice guys, I guess. They're private investigators trying to find out the death of a porn star. Well, and it's based in LA. Who knew? All right. This would not happen today, I'll tell you that. If a porn star died, it would be like, well, I don't know. You never know. Snorted a lot of vitamin B, I guess, in there right there. But let's play this right here.
It's my husband. He's gone missing.
Missing?
I'm terribly worried. It's just Fred's never been gone this long before.
Oh, dear.
Creepy. How long has he been missing?
Since the funeral.
Well, I can start right away.
I like the old Time Warner Brothers logo.
I like that too.
You're a private investigator?
My profession is very complicated, okay? It's nuanced.
That's a lot of blood.
You beat people up and charge money?
Yeah.
Sad, isn't it?
How much would you charge to beat up my friend Janet?
What?
How much you got?
$20.
That's good. This conversation is over.
I would do it.
The mob is trying to...
I like awesome the outfits.
Yeah. That'd be awesome at the end of the movie. You actually beat up Janet.
Right?
Please, find her.
Who is that actress?
This girl?
There's an invasion. Oh, we can do this the easy way.
No, the young one.
Doing it the easy way.
Whatever happened to offering me $20?
It's the recession.
This is a high-profile case.
Made the newspapers.
Oh, disco's my favorite era.
Where is
Amelia? What the hell's going on?
Oh, you know, there's a guy coming to kill us. That kind of crap.
Hey, can you behave like a professional?
I'm sorry.
She's in danger, man. We have to do something about it.
She's dead.
She's not dead.
She's not dead.
Why do you think everyone involved with this case was dying? This is not you. You're not a murderer.
This guy wouldn't react well to face
deep down.
No.
Look, if you come in here, you beat up on me. It's part of the job. I accept it.
But good music.
You pissed me off.
That's happening. There you go.
Before we go solving the crime of the century, let's deal with the rotting corpse.
I got a plan. Run.
There you go. Directed by Shane Black, who actually wrote the screenplay for Lethal Weapon.
He did?
He did. He wow. He was a screenwriter before he... And then he was also an actor in a way, too. He was also in Predator. He did a lot of action stuff.
He's a talented man.
Yeah. But now he's hooked up with these guys. The Nice Guys,
I guess.
I can't wait for the sequel. Nice Guys 2. 21 Jump Street right there.
Right.
Yeah. Man. That'd be awesome if they, you know.
There ain't nothing nice about these guys, I'll tell you.
No, really? I was born in 1977 and I kind of regret that. Even though it wasn't my choice. But I always go like, wow, that would have been a fun time to hang out.
Oh,
LA.
Yeah.
you know, see a show. I could have definitely seen David Bowie live. You know,
I would have been at Studio 54.
Oh.
In sequence.
Oh.
Underneath a disco ball.
Have you thought about this? Really?
My birthday 2 years ago, I had a big party.
Oh, cool.
And it was a Studio 54 themed.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Was there somebody in the front of like before you got in saying
a doorman?
Like a doorman.
Oh, yeah.
Not allowing people to go in because they didn't shave or they didn't have a tie in.
It was, yeah, exactly. It was very discriminatory.
Wow. It's like I got a gift. Like, I'll be like going to Leah's late. I got a gift and I'm like, what the fuck? I can't go
in. It was actually funny because we got noise complaints. What actor was it? There was some actor down the street, little bitch.
Wow.
He noise complained at us. I'm not even going to list who it is. And I think it was Usher, actually.
Oh, he is.
And Usher. So the cops came. And, of course, it's Studio 54. And just to go with the theme, right. I had fake Coke lying out on mirrors.
Vitamin B.
And the cops come in. And I thought I was going to go to prison at first.
I mean, they probably were like, vitamin B.
By the end of the night, they were dancing with us. We were taking photos with them. It was great.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, because I think, some cops are like, you know, guys, like, God, this is ridiculous. They
thought it was going to be a heist. No, they were real cops, and I thought helicopters were going to be called. Yeah. I mean, shit was about to go down.
I think it depends on where you have the party, because I think some places are where they're like, oh, fuck, man, we got to do it. But there's some places where they're like, oh, whatever, we might check it out just to see. They were like, I bet you they probably won a bet. Like, they were probably like, you know, like paper, rock, scissors, like a bunch of other guys, and they're like, fuck, we won. Yeah, let's go out. Let's see who's there, you know? Maybe Jamie Foxx might be playing the piano and Prince might be there. You don't know. You know?
They did come in with cop bell-bottom outfits.
Oh,
I'm not
going
to lie.
Wow. That, I don't know. That's a... Yeah, cause Studio 54 was very notorious. The guy used to run it. I asked like I knew the guy.
I was 6 months old.
I was 6 months old, you know. My mom, you know, we're hanging out, you know, drinking a, you know, martini, whatever, you know, that's how it is. But the guy would like, he would like tell people, like, he couldn't tell, like, not everybody could go in. Like, it was like the exclusive club, like Michael Jackson be there, Andy Warhol, whatever.
Drew Barrymore when she was 7.
Oh, yeah, well, card. I wonder if that was like one of the things, because the guy goes like, he's like, you can't come in because you didn't shave. And it's like, well, you have a 7-year-old. I'm like I would have, you know what? I would have been such a pissed off. I would have, like, especially trying to impress like some girl I'm dating or something. I would have been pissed if Drew Barrymore was there. I would have called the cops. I would have been like, there's a 7-year-old there. Damn it. He's like.
And they'd been like, we don't care. She's an E.T.
Exactly. She was. And you're like, yeah, that's
damn it.
True. That's true. She's good. She's good. Drew Barrymore. She's seen a lot. Trust me. She's been in, you know, I'll tell you that much. Yeah. I mean, that should be a Lifetime movie right there. Drew Barrymore, the early years. How about that? Huh?
Yeah, but now she's all, you know, commercial when she did Charlie's Angels and whatever. No one ever wants to talk about her jaded, dark past. No. Everyone's just let it go.
I remember like her mom. I think her name was Jade Barrymore. Like, they didn't have a good relationship or whatever. And, like, I don't know. I think it was hard to be real. I don't know how it must be really hard anyway to be a child actor. But back in those days, I mean, oh my God, forget about it. Like,
access to everything and no social media.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
one could snap a photo of you and out you
right,
for whatever
you
were doing.
That's why, like, autographs are big, you know, back in those days. You know, people would be like, that was proof that you actually saw somebody. Like, mm-hmm. that was it. I guess, you know. But
do you have any autograph photos from anybody that is super meaningful to you?
You know what? Not a photo, but I have a baseball.
Really?
Signed by who was it signed by?
Yeah. Wait, super. Wow.
Well, you know, the story around it was that I was a Dodger fan. I was a Dodger, you know, I'm still a Dodger fan, but when you would go outside, like after the game, when you would go outside, there was a spot where all the players would come out after the game. You know, they would shower or do whatever, and they would go out, and sometimes people would stand on the fence and ask for an autograph, you know, mm-hmm. and something. And I remember like Steve Sachs was there, and he was like one of the few that would come out sometimes. And I think I wanted Kirk Gibson or something like that. But Steve Sachs came out and he signed, but I was so shy. That I didn't have anything there, and I wanted an autograph, but I just was so shy I didn't ask for one. And I was like, I think I was started to like cry, and this guy saw me like all upset, and he said, hey, come, you know, he's like, what's the matter, what's the, you know, like that. And I go, oh, I'm, you know, my sister I think explained it or whatever, you know. And what happened was that his friend had a Steve Sachs was autograph, and the guy who was asking me, you know, what was wrong, he paid the guy $100 and gave me the ball.
That is so nice. Yeah.
So and that was the ball. Like anytime where if I knew or had a celebrity or not celebrity, anything baseball related, I would take that there. And ever like we saw this one player at the gas station. He literally drove his car. There was I don't know if it's still there, but there was a gas 76 gas station in Dodger Stadium, like in outside, and he was there. And we were freaking out. We're like, oh, that's Enos Cabell, and he signed the ball. And then everyone like doing something, and Reggie Jackson was there, and everyone bringing the ball, and he would sign it, you know, stuff like that. So that ball, I mean, it's even though like Steve Sachs is in there, I don't even know if you even know who Steve Sachs is.
No idea.
No, okay.
I'm nodding along like I have an idea.
Right.
Sports are not. He was a very popular.
He was a very popular baseball player. At least not popular, but he was at least for the Dodgers. He was, and I remember he had a weird thing. I never forget. He had a. They should do a documentary on this. But he had one of those weird things where he was a second baseman, and he couldn't throw first base or he couldn't throw home. Like he had a mental block where he just could not throw at a certain thing, and he got like they hired a psychiatrist or a therapist to like help him out. Yeah, it was like a weird thing. It's like a weird sports thing where it's like a mental game where you're like there and you're like, wow, this guy cannot throw at like home plate or something for some reason. Like, I don't know. We're paying this guy like a lot of money. Nice. So, but it was a big deal. That ball was still a big deal, but like I was
really big deal. Can't remember who signed it, but that's my favorite possession. It's very special to me.
I was shy. I never really asked. I never really asked about it. Who do you have that's like a...
I have one.
I'm going to guess.
Actually, I have two. Yes, go ahead.
I'm going to guess. That's either J-Lo...
Oh, God.
...or Jamie Lee Curtis.
How did you know?
No. I knew it. I'm kidding.
No, one of my idols growing up, and one of the reasons I even wanted to be an actress, was Anne Margaret.
Yeah. Oh.
I love her so much. Very you sexy. Know, Viva Las Vegas, Bye Bye Birdie.
Oh, yeah.
And my mom at an auction bought me a signed photo of her.
Oh,
and I had it up in my room and I would stare at it all the time when I was a child. And I love it and I still have it and I still love her. And my dream in life is to have her play what would have been my mom, but maybe my grandma because I'm so young.
Right.
And then I have another, which is pretty amazing. I did a web series that Vin Diesel directed and we became pretty close. And I'll never forget him telling me this quote. And he actually wrote it down for me and signed it. And it says, "We will find a way or we will make one." Mm. It's from Hannibal, not the flesh-eating Hannibal, but the warrior Hannibal.
Right.
And that quote, I think, is just incredible.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I have two.
So you have two. Wow.
Two totally similar celebrities, Anne Margaret and Vin Diesel.
who's the least one? Like you have, like, you're like, why do I have this autograph? No, it's like, I don't know if there is one. Do you have anything, Mike? Anything? No.
I think I do.
I never met
I think I had a signed baseball at one point when I was a kid.
Mike, I'll sign something for you. Don't stop hinting.
Yeah.
Stop hinting.
I can sign it too, man.
Take your shirt off. I'm signing your chest.
That's always weird. Like, if I was a celebrity and somebody took like a poop out, I'd be like, what the fuck? I'm like, what are you doing?
By the way, what do you do with that boob? Do you never wash it again? Like,
you tattoo it over? Like, is that how it works? Like, I don't know what you're doing. Like,
that would be the most desperate move of all time. Yeah. I'm going to get this Pauly Shore signing tattooed onto my boobie.
Right. Oh my God, that's such a weird thing. I don't know. Imagine Pauly Shore. I'd be like, Pauly Shore, if you did it to Pauly Shore, I think he would be like, what the fuck? Like, this is a joke?
He'd be like, what? You know who I am?
Oh man, that guy. I don't think I've ever met him. No.
I see him at the gym every day.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he a cool guy?
He's so nice.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. I never met him, but I'm pretty sure he's very laid back. He's always one of those guys you want to hang out at the party, I'll tell you that much. But him and David Spade probably, you know, I don't know if David Spade.
Yeah, I mean he works out religiously.
I can imagine. He wears
a little bandana and he rides the bike for about an hour.
He's a comedian. You got to do that.
Yeah.
So he's perfectly. He's training for the Comedian Olympics.
And he knows every pretty girl in the gym.
Oh, he has to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no. This guy, I remember when like Encino Man came out or something, this guy was king. This guy was all over.
That was the best movie.
Yeah.
Or In the Army Now.
He had like, what was the one with the... I should get my... I don't know what happened. I was gonna
Son-in-law?
Son-in-law. Yeah. That was good. I actually enjoyed Son-in-law.
I like that too.
But yeah, he had a thing where he was like a pretty... I want to say he was like a huge box office this, but he has a very moderate career, movie career.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened. I don't know.
You know his mom owns the Comedy Store?
Yeah. Yeah. Dinosaur. No, it's like Mini Shore or something like that. I don't know. It's...
How incredible to grow up with your mom owning such a... Mm-hmm. Incredible landmark.
Yeah, I mean,
so many amazing comedians have been in there.
Yeah, it's, I think there is a documentary on that Comedy Store.
There could be.
Yeah, there's like a photo of like David Letterman and Jay Leno back in the day or something like that, like, you know, back when they were friends. I don't know now, but
that place is legendary.
Yeah, I always felt like when I was a kid I would see that Comedy Store and I would go like, what are you selling there?
Yeah,
did I sell anything in there? And like, no. I'm like, well, what's the point? Why do you even call it the comedy? You know, just say,
yeah,
say the comedy universe or the comedy world or
comedy
or,
heaven.
Because there's a laugh factory, and I go like, are there workers in there? Yeah. Like, I mean, at least the improv. And the thing is about the weird thing about the improv, there's no improv in there.
Yeah,
and it takes me back to the old Seinfeld joke where you go, I get grape nuts. Open the box. No grapes, no nuts. What's going on? You know, I always love that one. Because that was the thing. As a kid, I remember opening the box and being like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Anything on Seinfeld can do no wrong.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That show has held up so well.
Oh, it's up there with Isle of Lucy, in my opinion.
I think Elaine Bennis is my favorite TV character of all time.
It's a tie for me for George and Kramer. That's those two.
Oh, George is pretty damn good.
I do like Kramer. He's... I just like how everybody, they goof on him.
Yeah.
And he never fights back.
Do you know the episode when they find out his name is Cosmo?
That was the best.
That's really
good.
That
was good. Yeah. And he
Cosmo?
Was even, and he was even, they were goofing on him, laughing. He didn't even say anything. Like, he didn't even say, never said anything bad. You know, uh-huh. he never attacks anybody.
Or all of his, no, he sues people, but they all fail miserably.
Yeah. Exactly.
Something terrible happens. Right, yeah. Right as he's going to win. Remember when he takes, he gets burnt by the coffee?
Right.
And instead of taking the $1 million or whatever he's going to get in the lawsuit, he takes a year's worth of free coffee.
Right, exactly.
Of the same coffee that burned him.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. It's like, my favorite Seinfeld episode by far is the Hamptons, where they
where they see the George's girlfriend topless and the ugly baby.
Yeah, the ugly baby. Yeah. They see the girl topless.
And they steal the lobster.
Right.
And he feeds the lobster to the girl that's never eaten lobster.
But it was such a great game where it's like everybody has seen George's girlfriend topless except for George.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he got mad at Jerry. He's like, all right, now I have to see her, your girlfriend.
Oh, and then there's the whole shrinkage issue.
Right, and then the thing is, when that never happened, but then the Jerry's girlfriend saw how small it was, and
because it was cold,
and he goes, "It was I'm in the water," and he goes, and then that's when they asked Elaine. He goes, "What do you know about shrinkage?" She goes, "I don't know." She goes, "You know about that?" She goes, "It shrinks," and he goes, and Jerry's like a frightened turtle. It's like,
so he feeds her lobster.
Right,
or how about the part where the doctor comes over and he tells Elaine she's absolutely stunning, and she's on top of cloud nine, and then they look at the baby and the baby's really ugly.
Yeah,
and he goes, "That baby's just stunning."
She goes, I know.
What do you mean?
That episode to me was like, it's like page for page, it's like a joke a minute, you know. It's like so much fun. Oh man, I loved it. I love it.
I love it too.
Well, are you gonna see are you gonna see the Good Guys? We're in the retail store.
The Nice Guys looks like a movie that I would like to watch on an airplane.
Okay.
Because everything's better on an airplane.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I couldn't stand. I remember seeing this movie. What was it with Nicole Kidman and Sandra Bullock about witches? On the plane, and everyone being annoyed because
Practical Magic.
Yeah. And I'm a very intense flyer. Like, I don't really like to fly, but I will never forget seeing this movie and being like, I couldn't hear it, but just visually watching it, I'm like, this is horrible. This is like, what is this?
Imagine if you weren't watching it on an airplane. No. You would have thrown something at your television.
Oh yeah,
everything is better on the plane. I really believe that.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? I would have rather watched Face of the Death on the plane than Practical Magic. I'll tell you that much right there. Jesus. Oh, my God. It sounds cool on paper, but oh, man. Oof.
I think Nice Guys looks a little, it looks a little basic.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe there's nothing. But you know what? Sometimes trailer doesn't do justice, you know? But we'll see. Let's play the next trailer. You know, I was going to do Neighbors 2, but you know what? It's a comedy.
Yeah.
Let's get down to the nitty gritty right here. Did anybody see Alice in Wonderland with Johnny Depp?
I did. I'm so sick of him.
You too?
I am so sick of him.
I think Johnny Depp, the old Johnny Depp, is sick of the new Johnny Depp.
He must hate himself.
Yeah. Yeah, like I remember him in 21 Jump Street and all these other, like he was all those John Waters movies. Like he wasn't John Waters, like he was a fan. I guess he was in a couple of John Waters movies. And all of a sudden, like this guy is in my life now. And he's, I don't know what's going on.
I don't know if Tim Burton did it to him or what it is, but we get it. You're an amazing actor. You don't have to try so hard. Stop playing a man with, I don't know. It's just, he irritates me.
Yeah. I remember seeing the, what's it called? The Chocolate Factory. What's it called?
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Yeah, he plays the exact same character that he does in the Alice in Wonderland movie.
And I remember being like, is this his impression of Michael Jackson? Like, it was very Michael Jackson. Like, I'm like, why? They should have just had Michael Jackson as Willy Wonka. That would have been, I think, a little bit better, maybe.
He needs to play a Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas or something.
Like, he was in the movie Ed Wood. He played Ed Wood.
Yeah.
I can't believe you don't know what Ed Wood is. Are you sure you don't know what Ed Wood is?
He's catching on to when I don't know what he's talking about. I stare blankly.
Oh, Malia. All right.
You're learning my tricks.
Yeah, I know. But this is the sequel now.
Gotta go.
I know. Of Alice in Wonderland. Alice Through the Looking. Now, visually, it looks cool. It looks like they put a lot of budget on there. But it's basically the Alice in Wonderland whole story. But it's very. But yeah, who is he even playing? Is he the Mad Hatter? Is that what he is?
Yeah, he's the Mad Hatter.
Yeah, okay.
Is he in the second one?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Well, you know what? Let's play the trailer.
Ugh. Do we have to?
That's why I pick him. That's why I pick him, guys. All right. Oh, boy. Let's see here.
Where's this Neighbors 2 trailer?
Yeah, he is in the movie. And this is a Disney movie, so this is a, you know.
Set a course for London.
That's the best part of the movie, the Disney sign.
Gone too long, Alice.
Absalom?
There are matters which might benefit from your attention. Hurry.
What's that?
Mia Wascally, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And do mind your step.
What a lucky actress to get to do this, though.
What's the matter?
The Hatter's the matter.
Oh, there he is.
We need you to save the Hatter. Or one day.
Why?
No, you have
to.
Let him die.
He's my truest friend. If he's in need, I will help him.
It's not impossible. Merely impossible.
It will be a race against time. Time is a he. He is not someone you want as your enemy.
Oh, this is Sacha Baron Cohen, isn't this?
Is he? I love him.
Yes.
I love her too.
Yeah.
It's you. Find her.
God.
This cannot be good.
Sorry, it's a Portuguese word.
Wherever you go, I will find you.
The special effects, like...
The special effects are incredible.
Oh, God.
Hold on, everyone.
There we go. Alice to the looking glass.
I said this in Spanish. Alice a prejos ojos.
Ojos. Oh, he broke it. Sorry. Oh, boy. The Mad Hatter. No, because I think... Wasn't Alice in the... Like, Disney... Always Disney-fied those old stories, but wasn't it like really crazy, like the actual original Alice in Wonderland story?
Yeah, it's all about being clinically insane.
It's like drugs, like you're on like acid or something like that, I guess, or something. Yeah.
Remember when the caterpillar's smoking and he's blowing the rings out of his smoke? And
yeah, it's a very trippy movie. Like I would imagine that you're just like, whoa. Hey.
But you know what's interesting about that film? I saw The Jungle Book 2 days ago, the new one.
Oh, how was that?
Here's the thing. Uh-oh. When you used to watch movies like Alice in Wonderland as an adult, you could connect to it so deeply. There were so many deep meanings about it, you know, about not knowing who you are, or everyone in the world being mad, or whatever it was. And I feel like with all those old Disney films, you could really connect as an adult
right.
or a child.
Right.
But this film is so, you know, this is fear and this is danger. And it was so surface.
Right.
You know, it was a beautifully done film, but there was nothing underneath it.
No substance.
No substance. Mm.
Yeah.
But the young actor's amazing. The special effects are incredible.
Yeah. I think it's sometimes it's interesting how, like, when they have a cartoon or something and they try to, like, make it, like, real life. But it doesn't really have sometimes the same. I think when it's a cartoon or animated or something, like, it's just, that's how it is. And that's yeah. how it should be. Like, it's not like.
Plus, when you're getting these huge A-list actors to play right. voices of animals,
right.
it kind of pulls me out of it. Like, yeah. I'm looking at a snake, and it's Scarlett Johansson snake.
Yeah.
Or Ben Kingsley tiger.
Yeah, exactly. you know what? And you're right, because I remember my first book that I ever read was Where the Wild Things Are.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, I was very... And I remember, like, as a kid, like, I remember loving that, like, and reading it over and over, you know, and mostly just looking at the pictures, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't that smart. But I remember when the movie came out, I was like, oh, wow, like, this is pretty cool. I was like, okay, you know, and James Gandolfini, whatever, from The Sopranos, like, was one of the voices, and it just ruined me. The whole time I'm, like, in the movie watching it, I'm just like, why is Tony Soprano in the fucking movie? I'm like, what the fuck? Like, and it's not like, I'm not saying, like, he was a horrible actor, but it's definitely, like, you know, when you have a character actor or a voice actor, sometimes you try a little bit different things and all that. Like, he just played it like Tony Soprano, like, all mm-hmm. the way through. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's really – and I think sometimes – I think when they first started doing, like, the animation, when Pixar first hit, I think because when Toy Story came out, they had Tom Hanks. I think, like, Woody Allen was also an ant, he was an ant and all that.
That worked.
But I think, but there was a lot of character actors, a lot of people that were in, you know, did cartoons and did all, like, the morning, and they were very good. And I think they didn't give him a whole chance because those people were, like, just as talented.
Just about, you know, I need this name.
Yeah.
Lupita Nyong'o Wolf or whatever right. it is. With such big concepts, I don't think that you need such big celebrities.
Right.
I think it'd be more believable to listen to a voice that actually fit the snake.
Right.
That's Scarlett Johansson and her sexy low voice.
Yeah, it doesn't... Yeah,
it's very weird.
Yeah, it's distracting in a way because it doesn't mm-hmm. really put you...
But you know what? Bill Murray plays Baloo and he's kind of brilliant.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
That's what I mean. I could get that. Like...
Because he's Bill Murray.
Yeah, like, I remember, like, when they had the Grinch Who Stole Christmas, they had, I think, was it Boris Karloff, like, narrated or one of those things, and it, like, fit... Perfect. I mean, because he was. I mean, I know he played Frankenstein, but even though he would just grunt, but
yeah.
he had that creepy, like almost like Vincent Price. Like you had that thing where you're like Vincent Price was great because like he would even if he came in the stage, like if you saw him, it was still creepy. But then if you heard his voice, it was just creepier.
Yeah,
you're just like, whoa, what the fuck? Like who's this guy? Like, all right, dude. You know, like, I'm like, I wouldn't hang out. I would be like, imagine if you're friends with Vincent Price here, and you're like, and I'm like. Vincent Price is creeping me out. Like, imagine you're a server at a restaurant and like,
lot of friends like that.
Can I switch tables with that guy? It's creeping me out, man. I don't know. But I don't know. This one, I didn't see the Alice in Wonderland first one, and I don't think I'm going to see this one. I mean, visually, it looks awesome.
It does.
But yeah, Johnny Depp kind of. Yeah, I don't know. He's kind of ruining things.
he just needs to take a nice long hiatus.
Yeah, you know, just do whatever you got to do and take a break and saying, you know, he has F you money. He's earned a lot of money.
That man could never work again. He could buy an island.
Yeah.
He could do whatever.
You see Ryan Gosling doing, you know, movies or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, why isn't Johnny Depp like doing something?
But just look how ridiculous he looks. We are sick of it. Just be Johnny Depp in a film. You know? Just play yourself.
Yeah.
That's what he needs to do to redeem himself. He needs to spoof himself in a film. He needs to be able to show that he has a sense of humor, that right. he's not a high maintenance, you know, pretentious actor.
And doesn't dress like some bohemian guy.
Yeah.
Like that. It's like, weren't you the guy in 21 Jump Street? The good looking guy used to be on those like girl magazines. Like
I don't find him attractive at all anymore.
Oh, my sister was like a big fan. All the girls were always like, you know, because yeah, he was a good looking. He was in Nightmare on Elm Street, and I remember like he still like it still looked good. Like he's
Edward
still...
Scissorhands. Oh my god, he was so sexy in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Even with those sharp tools.
And it, And the thing is, Tim Burton is, I think, another one that should kind of take a break and go back, because he was a very original guy. You know, Pee-wee's, like when he did the Pee-wee, when it first came out, the very first Pee-wee was awesome. When he did Batman, awesome. Beetlejuice, Edward Scissorhands.
Well, it's very easy to hide behind special effects, I think, these days. You know, that doesn't take... That takes a visual effects team, but it doesn't take real creativity.
Yeah, I think, I don't know what it is. Like, I think he started doing remakes and started doing all these things where it's like, it doesn't seem like the same person.
And there's nothing original about Alice in Wonderland. Yeah. How many times can we watch it? Where are the original ideas?
Exactly. Yeah, and they're running out.
They're running out.
Yeah. There are some, but I think it's, I don't know, it's hard. There is a movie I did see or I did read about. There's a thing called The Blacklist, and they always have a thing where it's like scripts that are passed around to agencies and stuff that kind of get, you know, pushed up the on top of the whole piles, you know. And there is a movie that I think is actually going to be made called it's about Bubbles, Michael Jackson's chimp.
Is it really? Are you messing with me right now?
I wish this sounds
too good to be true.
Oh, I do the show because I'm waiting for that movie, and I'm waiting for the new Kevin Spacey cat movie where he plays does the voice of a cat, and I don't even think it's real, but I think it is. I'm not sure. I have to investigate this. But
thank God Kevin Spacey has such great credits. Oh yeah. His belt.
Oh yeah. And but this movie Bubbles is Bubbles' take on being with Michael Jackson. And I'm like, I don't know.
What?
Yeah.
Who's going to play Michael Jackson?
Sacha Baron Cohen, of course. No, I don't know.
Have you seen the Brothers Grimsby?
No, I've seen. Is that the one with what's his name?
The shaved head action star. Yeah.
Yeah. That guy.
Yeah. That guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw it and it is the grossest humor, but it's hilarious.
That is right there.
He's so talented.
Yeah. Is that Matt Damon, right? Isn't that?
No.
Or is it the other guy?
I forget his name. I forget his name, but that movie is dirty.
All right. That's what I'm saying.
But it's funny.
You know,
stupid.
Yeah. There's some movies there. I mean, I don't mind. Like, I don't, you know, care. Like, but there's some movies that I remember as a kid being like, I remember Porky's. There's a movie called Porky's, and it was very, it's almost X-rated in a way, right? Because it was like, it just like... Mike, help me out.
Well, it was from the 70s, right?
No, it was from the early 80s, I remember. 80s. Yeah.
It sounds like a porn, guys.
It was like really...
Boobs, I think. It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't as bad. It was a lot of boobs, but a lot of nudity. But when I look back at it, I remember like, I think it was a big hit, mostly because it was this real campy and just had this like topless thing, whatever. But but in reality, it wasn't really that funny. It wasn't really like, oh my god, like this fun. Like there was a couple funny stuff there. Like I remember the Mike Hunt thing was there.
Is that where that started?
I think that's where it started. Really? Mike Hunt. You know what that is?
Mm-mm.
Where you go, you call something, and you say like, if you call the airport, and can you page Mike Hunt? So when the person's saying, I'm looking for Mike Hunt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's where it came from.
It's very Bart Simpson.
Yeah, exactly. And that was even taken from those prank calls. They used to have like this – they used to call this bar, and they used to call this old guy. And it was exactly what Bart Simpson did basically to Mel. But I don't know. Like I always look at these movies or these movies where I thought I was a kid or something – because people said, like, oh, they're funny. And when I look back, I'm like, well, they're okay.
Everything as a kid is so different.
Yeah.
Did you ever see The Pied Piper?
I don't think so. No.
I watched really bad movies as
a child. Is that a marijuana movie?
No. it's this movie and the guy like has a flute and he calls all these rats. I don't know.
Right, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
But when I was a child, it was so amazing and real. And I watched it the other day and it looks like a puppet show.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
You definitely have a very different mindset when you're as a kid to an adult, because I think as a kid, you know, you have a different, your imagination takes away, you know, but now is the thing, you're all very disciplined.
Plus you're not jaded.
Yeah. You're very jaded, you know, as an adult, and you're just like,
that's stupid.
Yeah. My friend and I goof on this show called Freddy's Nightmares, which was a TV show. It was basically Twilight Zone meets Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm-hmm.
And where Freddy was the host and he was beat these weird stories. But I remember as a kid being kind of like scared because Freddy was hosting it and it was supposed to be scary. But when you look back, I'm like, There's porn movies that have better quality than this thing. Like I think I was more, as an adult, more scared of the quality and the type. Like, it was so badly done. Like, it was just like, oh my god, like who put the money? like it. I don't know. It was scary. It was scary. But how bad it was. But I don't know. What are you gonna do, Malia? Thank you for doing the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, see, you have a good voice. You were telling me that you used to be on the radio station, right?
Yeah,
in Hawaii, Kauai.
On Kauai, yeah.
Am I pronouncing Kauai correctly?
I probably don't pronounce it correctly, and I'm from there, so.
Because I always feel like when they say Hawaii, they're always like.
Hawaii.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah. What? I was like, well, what does that mean?
I say Kauai or Kauai, but yeah, growing up, my dad, which was kind of a big deal there, he started a radio station. So yeah. On the North Shore, we didn't really get any signal. Right. So it was, unfortunately, all you could listen to was this radio station, right. KKCR. And I had a radio show eventually after working there for a long time, yeah. Every Saturday from 3 to 4.
Oh, nice.
I would get boxes of CDs this big. It was like Christmas once a week. And I was actually the first person on the island to get the What I Got by Sublime single.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty epic. It was a pretty big deal. And
was it like on the plane, like in case, like somebody had a briefcase and they had a handcuff attached to it?
Yeah, pretty much. No, but I would play so much good music. And I remember I had to bleep out every time there was a curse word or else we'd get fined. And then my sister, who was older and cooler than me, was in a band. And I kept playing the What I Got single. And she's like, what is that country stuff? That CD sucks. Then cut to a month later, she's like, so can I borrow that CD?
Yeah, it grows on you. You know?
It does.
Yeah, it's it's a way.
And sure enough, it's Sublime.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Like you should go back. I don't know if your family's still there, but if you go back and maybe
do a little guest star.
Yeah, get a little play. What's it all about? That bass, the diaper song. I'm like, and I'll
the
be like, that's
is,
the diaper song, right?
I'll play it for you. How about you come with me?
I will. I will come. I will, and we're gonna We're gonna play that song, and then I'm gonna talk about Face of the Death, right there.
And then we're all gonna dance, and you guys actually can't see us, but it's gonna be amazing.
It's gonna be amazing. I'm gonna describe the whole way it works right there. Oh man. But thank you again for doing the show.
It was fun and amazing, and I'm obsessed with Obi.
Oh, my cat, yeah.
I don't know if you guys know this, but he has a cat that is the size of Garfield. He's the cutest thing I've ever seen. He is I'm Snapchatting right now away if you wanna check him out.
Yeah. He's a beast. I wanna say he's a gentle beast, but he's very sociable.
But he knows his angles. Look at him.
Yeah, he does.
Of course.
Look at that.
I should try feeding him lasagna.
I know, right?
I do have a just sad life as his owner, Garfield John. You know, John was that was my favorite part, I think, of Garfield. Like, I was like there, but I do love it. Even as a kid, I remember reading it and being like, that John's a loser, man. Isn't he? Like, he can't even get a date. Like, fuck. Oh, man. I'm like, that should be the movie right there. Like, just John and Garfield right there. Oh, perfect. Well, and Mikes, thank you for sitting in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Again. And guys, let me ask, I have a friend of mine, she's doing a trip, with her horse. She's riding, a horseback,
It sounded like you said horse.
I have that.
Mike and I just look at each other. Did he just say that?
No. I was getting the confusion of horse and but she's horseback riding.
Got it.
Like on an animal.
Thank you for clarifying.
On an animal, and no shenanigans on there. and she has a place where you could donate it. She's at for her trip. I don't know much about the deal, but I know it's from L.A. to – I think it's like a cross-country trip from L.A. I think to either the Carolinas or so. I have to get there. Doing a horrible job. Sorry.
Are selling this, my friend.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Sorry. I don't know if you know her. I think
What's her name?
Her name is Ronnie Sanderson.
I do know her. She's stunningly beautiful.
Right.
And she seems very free-spirited. I can see her riding a horse across the country.
Oh, she's doing it. That's amazing. She's very sweet. And she's, you know, she's asking for, you know, just a place, you know, to feed the horse or so like that. Carrots. Horse love carrots.
I'll donate some carrots.
Okay. All right. There we go. And the website is foundandlost.com.
Found and lost.
So, guys, if you check it out, you know, if you would donate it, it's on their thing. She's a brave person because I don't think I would ever horseback. I've been on a horse one time. Very, very painful. I'll tell you that.
Your legs, imagine riding cross country.
Oh my God.
You'd be walking like you're on a horse for a long time.
I don't know. Those cowboys were badass just for riding the freaking horse. I'll tell you that much because that pounds you. I'll tell you that much right there.
Super cool that you can shoot people, but man, riding that horse was badass.
I would do a showdown at high noon any time of the week, but right in the heart, I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's a good superhero.
Yeah, I would be like,
that's a good game.
Yeah,
the guy that can do all the badass stuff but can't do all those little things.
Yeah, it's like,
super intimidated by the little things.
Like, he's not even on the horse. He's like riding it like on a bike. You know, the people do on a bicycle where they're not riding it, they just have it on the side. Yeah. You know, that's what I think I would do with
him. He's like rollerblading, but with a rifle.
They're like, Billy Bob, it's 400 miles. It's like, yeah, I can do it. Don't worry about it. But please check out that site. And again, Malia, thanks for doing the show. Mike, again, thanks you for filling in.
And guys, check out my film, Kidnap, that comes out this fall with Halle Berry.
Nice, nice. Get her autograph, please. I want to see
I'm her. Signing Mike.
Okay, just you.
He really wants me to sign him.
Oh, I do. Right there. Well, again, thank you, everybody. And please come to your senses.
You have received this transmission from the Comedy Podcast Network. For more shows, visit comedypodcastnetwork.com.